Breaking now, a man is rushed to the hospital after a near drowning in Wake Forest. WRL's breaking news tracker just arrived on the scene and will have a live report.
The mayor calls this particular area a hot spot for crime. We'll detail what the city is doing to bolster security.
Then, more than 1,000 charges filed against dozens of people in connection to dangerous ATV riding and dirt biking. The tactic law enforcement is using to prevent this growing problem from continuing.
And Lee has strengthened into a hurricane. What the new models show about where it's headed.
Right now at 7 o'clock, we're taking a live look at RDU, where you can almost tell how hot it is just from this image somehow. For the third time in recorded history in September, the airport clocked in at 100 degrees or more, hitting 102 degrees today. Good evening. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe here in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with meteorologist Kat Campbell. Kat, in addition to the heat, we're also tracking Lee, which has become a hurricane now. Is that something to be concerned about?
You know, it's not something that I would panic about at this point. However, it's worth watching. We're going to be watching this for the next week and a half. So we've got a long ways to track it. And there's a chance that things could change. But the consensus so far is that it stays away from North Carolina. Top wind 75 miles per hour. Next up for Lee is rapid intensification into a major hurricane this weekend, likely a Category 4 hurricane. Staying in Category 4 into Monday, staying north of Puerto Rico and the Leeward Islands, but that turn to the north is still forecast, and that would come late Tuesday into early Wednesday. Most models showing that, but you can see the models really begin to diverge as we get into the early part of next week. This is one still watching. At this point, it does look like we'll see a trough or a dip in the jet stream kind of block Lee from any direct impact on the East Coast. That could change, though, so stay tuned for updates. The big story locally today was the heat, 102 degrees. It didn't actually reach the record of 104, though. Still, only the third time we've been in the triple digits in September at RDU. 98 also tied the record today in Fayetteville. We're still at 95 in the Triangle with a heat index of 99. Feeling like 100 in Fayetteville at this hour. I'll have a closer look at when our next cold front arrives coming up.
Really is a hot one. Thanks, Kat.
I'm Willie Danily in the WRL Breaking News Tracker here at the Wake Forest Reservoir, where officials were investigating a drowning that sent a man to the hospital just a short time ago. Take a look at this video that I captured soon after I arrived. You can see Wake Forest Fire, Police, EMS all investigating this scene. According to the Wake Forest Public Information Officer, both fire and police pulled a middle-aged man out of the reservoir. They did perform CPR on him, and he's currently being transported to the Wake Forest Medical Center for further evaluation. We're still waiting to hear what the condition is of that middle-aged man and find out how exactly he ended up in that reservoir. We're going to continue to follow this story and keep you up to date with the latest information as it comes. Back to you.
Okay. All right, Willie, let us know. Thank you. Let's take a beautiful look at downtown Raleigh, where things have been a little dangerous, according to some. The city is planning on hiring private security to work with police and curb some of the crime in the downtown area. This is going to be in a specific area where they're patrolling. We'll take a look on the map. It's going to be around Wilmington Street and Blunt Street, patrolling Market Plaza and Exchange Plaza, not far from Moore Square. WRL's Chelsea Donovan dug into the plan and heard from businesses in that area.
The Green Monkey is a new addition on Wilmington Street.
And we want to do everything we can to be a welcoming space and to be pro downtown.
Rusty Patton recently moved his queer safe space here from Hillsborough Street. His shop is now feet away from the Go Raleigh bus station.
There's a lot of drug use.
While it's been smooth sailing for the most part, he's noticed some unwelcome activity, much like Raleigh's mayor.
Around the transit center and on Wilmington Street, both of which have become hot spots during the summer, but has not eased up. I mean, we have kids running through restaurants, stealing tip jars, harassing staff.
Which is why the city is now bolstering their security efforts in the blocks around the bus station, adding in more than just Raleigh police and Raleigh ambassadors.
This gives us the ability to cover the entire city, but beef up coverage in some hot spots where we need it.
The city and the Downtown Raleigh Business Alliance currently have two bids out to hire on a private security firm that will saturate this area.
They add a sort of quickness to that response by being able to immediately see something. The other thing is the hope is it just deters.
Data we uncovered showed an enormous spike in crime in the areas where private security would patrol. There have been a total of 381 crimes reported in the past 8 months, an increase of 60% over the same span of the same time last year. There have been 44 reports of drugs by Raleigh police in August of this year, only 8 reports of drugs last year. While some crime may be up, business owners like Patton are elated the city is being proactive in its approach.
All the businesses on Wilmington Street, we want to, lack of a better word here, take our street back. Because this has got, Wilmington Street and downtown Raleigh has got so much potential.
There's no word from the city as to how much this security plan will cost, but they do hope to have it in place by the end of the month. Chelsea Donovan, WRAL News, Raleigh.
A family in Cumberland County is pressing for more charges in the death of an 8-year-old. Right now, an 11-year-old boy is the only person charged in the death of Genesis Dockery. Genesis was shot and killed by her babysitter's son. Her family is asking the DA to charge the sitter and grandfather, since we do know it was his gun that was used. This morning, Genesis's family and friends gathered in front of the Cumberland County Courthouse to ask for justice for Genesis.
Police have been busy. More than 1,000 charges have been filed as part of a multi-agency crackdown on dangerous ATVs and dirt bike riding, like you see in this video here across the triangle. WRL's Destiny Patterson tells us how they plan to prevent this issue in the future and what the riders have to say about it.
It continues to be an issue here in Durham. I'm talking about people recklessly, dangerously riding and driving their dirt bikes and ATVs. In fact, officers say that the problem has grown in the last decade. Well, now local law enforcement is teaming up to crack down on this issue together.
Robert Belcher says he's been in groups as large as 400 riders.
We didn't run any lights. Make sure everybody wore helmets.
But local law enforcement says not all riders follow suit. In fact, it's becoming a growing problem.
Together, we're going to stop this foolishness.
In a new initiative started this summer, several law enforcement agencies say they're working together to stop and prevent dirt bikes and ATVs from dangerous riding activity. More than 1,000 charges have been filed related to just one weekend in June. Durham PD says riders vandalized cruisers and even spat on an officer. Police have identified at least 43 people in connection to that weekend.
If you're coming into Raleigh to create problems, that we are going to be there.
I would say that they're not exempt from like traffic laws that everybody else has to abide by.
In a separate incident, 5 dirt bikes and 4 guns were confiscated. Oftentimes, officers say these rides lead to more serious crimes. They say most of the offending riders are not from the area, with some coming from as far as 800 miles away.
The biggest way to really deter this kind of behavior is to be able to seize the vehicles.
Belcher says riders get a bad rap, and he wants the city and county to find ways to allow people to ride.
They got skateboard parks popping up all over the place. So it's like, what do we, if y'all can do that, then I'm sure y'all can do this.
He says both law enforcement and drivers should instead think about sharing the road and working together.
Officers say it's against their policy to chase people on dirt bikes and ATVs, but now you can report any information or photos or videos that you might have on the Durham website. Destiny Patterson, WRAL News in Durham.
We could be just days away from the FDA greenlighting another COVID booster. It comes as North Carolina is seeing an increase in cases across the state. The virus in wastewater is at its highest since the first week of the year, and hospitalizations as well as emergency department visits are on the rise. Duke doctors say over time, immunity from boosters and having COVID fades, resulting in the surge we're seeing today. If you haven't had a vaccine or the virus in the last year, they're asking you to put precautions in place like masking and practicing social distancing.
Hundreds of students were sent home today because of a broken air conditioning unit in their schools.
After the break, how hot students say it was in the classroom and when officials say they'll be up and running again.
Plus, we are continuing our discussion on aging politicians. Coming up, what you at home think about this, as well as America when it comes to age limits for those in office. This This is In Depth. I am Dan Haggerty. Let's continue our segment on age limits in politics. And I want to start with an email I got from Carl. He said, as for age, you left the president out tonight, talking about last night's coverage. And since Carl and I don't want anyone to feel left out, maybe we'll begin there tonight. The Wall Street Journal just released a new poll about how Joe Biden's age might affect his electability and found Biden's age may be a growing problem for his reelection. According to the poll, most Americans think he's too old. Joe Biden is 80 years old. He'll be 81 in November. He'd be 86 by the end of his second term if he wins reelection. He's already the oldest president in history. The second oldest president in history was our last president, Donald Trump. He turned 77 this summer. Now, to put this into more perspective, former president Bill Clinton is younger than both of them and was elected when I was 11 years old. This YouGov poll from 2022 found more than half of Americans support a maximum age. Then CBS News and YouGov, they teamed up for an even bigger poll that found even more Americans, like 3 out of 4 people from every party and age group they could find, think that we should have age limits for our politicians. And most people think that age should be 70 years old. And right now, that would make 25% of Congress ineligible. Now think about that. 1 in every 4 politicians in Washington gone, and several others unable to run again because they would be too old. We started this conversation last night after the Capitol physician met with this man, Mitch McConnell, after his recent freezes during news conferences and concluded they show no sign of being a stroke or seizure. A viewer named Catherine made this great point. She emailed me at dan@wral.com this morning and said, you do know he fell not long ago and he has a concussion. No matter where you come down on age cutoffs, it is not clear McConnell is the best example. But first, let's be clear. McConnell had a concussion after his fall in May, but the theory that these freezes are a direct result of that now 4 months later is not definitive. But let's think about Catherine's point for a moment. Let's say a 40-year-old lawmaker had a concussion and months later he was freezing up. It would certainly make the news, but she's right. It wouldn't jumpstart conversations about age limits. That said, to say McConnell's age is inconsequential here is a bit disingenuous. So, ingenuous. So let's take a moment and take a look at age and what we know about it, considering there are more old people living today than ever before, and it's helped scientists learn a lot more about what happens to our minds. Harvard Med School sums it up like this, quote, scientists used to think that brain connections developed at a rapid pace in the first few years of life until you reached your mental peak in your early 20s. Your cognitive abilities would level off at around middle age and then start to gradually decline. We now know this is not true. MIT published The Rise and Fall of Cognitive Skills after a partnership with neuroscientists at Harvard. They gathered data on 50,000 people and found that in reality, different parts of our brains actually work better at different ages. Here's a chart that explains it pretty well. They found that your processing speed peaks in your late teens and then declines rapidly. You're best at learning new things and remembering names in your early 20s. This declines slowly. Short-term memory peaks from 25 to 35, and you're best at remembering faces in your early 30s. Social cognition and your ability to detect others' emotions peaks in your late 40s. And lastly, something that surprised researchers, your vocabulary skills don't seem to peak at all, but instead continue to improve even after the age of 65. They also revealed something that struck me as significantly profound, that while most areas of the brain do decline slowly with age, the connections between different parts of our brain actually strengthen, helping us to see the big picture more clearly, saying, quote, perhaps this is the foundation of wisdom. It is as if with age, your brain becomes better at seeing the entire forest and worse at seeing the leaves. All that to say, we must return to the obvious. Cognitive decline with age is guaranteed, especially after 65, and the potential for more serious complications increases exponentially as you approach 80 and older. That's why some lawmakers have suggested regular cognitive tests for aging leaders. Senator Bill Cassidy from Louisiana said, I'm told there have been senators in the past who at the end of their Senate terms were senile. That's obviously a problem if it's true. But his ideas haven't of these tests for lawmakers haven't gained much traction. Though, in the end, all of this is still in our hands, isn't it? A viewer named Pat said it best. Pat said, Dan, we already have term limits and age limits. If you want, it's called voting. Tell me what you think on this issue or any other. Email me at dan@wral.com. Tell me what's on your mind. And as always, we will go in depth.
Very interesting. Well, let's get back to the talk of the day about this heat. It's been a sweltering day, not only outside, but also inside classrooms across our region. At least six different school districts reported issues with their air conditioning today. Wake County alone had three high schools dismiss early because of broken HVAC systems. Students estimated the temperature inside was as high as 90 degrees.
It was very hard to focus, and it was like, and I have this on, so like I couldn't really, I was just ready to go. It was too hot to be in the classrooms. And then we couldn't even go outside because it's hot out here as well. So.
I get that, you know, it's hot outside, but take your hoodies off. That'll help. Wake County Schools says it is working on the HVAC issues, already restored the air conditioning at least at one of the three schools. Here's a beautiful live look at Lake Gaston. We think we may have actually just witnessed a couple of minutes ago a proposal happening on the dock that we're going to need to look into that. But at the very least, some family photos. And what a picturesque night for some family photos. Meteorologist Kat Campbell here now. Just gorgeous out there, although, of course, quite hot.
Yes. I mean, as long as you're in the shade, it's getting better this evening. But boy, it has been a sizzling hot day. It's just gorgeous to see the sunlight reflecting on the water there with the sunset in the distance. Let's talk about some relief on the way, though. We've got a cold front coming from the west. It's not going to be a fall front. It's not going to knock us down into that comfortable air like we saw last weekend. But nevertheless, it's going to help. Unfortunately, it does bring a chance for some thunderstorms. So when there is a chance that a couple of those could be severe tomorrow, mainly in the western part of our state, the severe weather risk, a level one threat, does extend into the triangle. At this point, though, the chance that you'll see a storm is low. We can't rule one out becoming severe, though. So let's take a look at Futurecast. The better storm chances in the western part of the state tomorrow. But by the evening, we could see those storms make it into the western part of our viewing area. They should begin to fade as they move through, but we'll be watching the radar for you. And if we look at Friday, that's when the front is closer to central North Carolina. It stalls out. It's going to act like a zone for those storms to form as the air rises along the front. We've got a better chance for some scattered storms during the afternoon and evening with this front nearby. And that's something that we'll need to watch with Football Friday coming up, of course, on Friday. I encourage you, if you work at a school that has to make a call for Football Friday, if you're able to wait until tomorrow, we'll get in model run after model run. It'll continuously update throughout the day. So check in for an update tomorrow as we really work to fine tune the forecast for Friday's rain timeline. Let's talk about the tropics now. We mentioned Hurricane Lee off the top of the newscast. There's another one with a 60% chance of developing. It's likely to stay out to sea. So all eyes are on Lee. And let's talk about what we could see from Lee. We're moving forward in time all the way to the end of next week. And I want to show you neither the new European or the new American model that actually just updated within the past hour show Lee making landfall along the East Coast or in North Carolina. However, at minimum, we're going to see rough surf from Lee. I think it's going to be even closer than Franklin. And of course, we saw issues with rough surf at the coast from Franklin. However, it's too early to rule out changes to the track. We have to closely monitor the steering pattern, and it's this trough, this upper level dip in the jet stream that should block the system from reaching the East Coast. There is time, though, for that steering flow to change, so we aren't going to rule it out yet. We're going to keep an eye on it for you and the time frame for those impacts late next week, all the way at the end of next week. So we've got a long time to watch Hurricane Lee. Next up for it is rapid intensification into the weekend. 97 our high tomorrow, an improvement over 102 today. We'll take what we can get. By Friday, 91 the high with a cold front moving in, a 40% chance of storms during the day, 40% chance Saturday and Sunday as well. And we keep in those storm chances. They're more isolated early next week, but more of a summertime pattern that you see in July and August with a chance of storms each day, but they're going to be scattered on the radar.
All right, Kat, thanks. Let's just hope that that trough maintains its place, keeping the hurricane off our coast.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. We'll let you know if it changes.
Thanks, Kat. Jamie Foxx plays a high-profile triangle attorney in an upcoming movie.
It tells the story of Willie E. Gary. Up next, the case that won him and his client
$500 million.
A popular event in Moore County is receiving a major tourism honor.
Southeast Tourism Society has named Festival d'Avion as one of the signature events of the Southeast. They were the only North Carolina event recognized. Festival d'Avion draws 7,500 people each year. Visitors of all ages get access to the Moore County Airport tarmac to see vintage planes up close. This year's festival gets underway October 27th.
Sounds fancy.
Or French. I don't know. A Fayetteville woman is $1 million richer after a beach vacation.
That's nice. April Royal says she and her husband, they bought a $2 Powerball ticket for Saturday's drawing in Southport. Royal says they checked the winning numbers while sitting in Labor Day traffic on their way home. That's a nice surprise. She says they used the money to invest, pay off some bills, celebrate their July marriage with a nice honeymoon. Congrats.
Wow,
how exciting for them.
Congratulations.
Superstar Jamie Foxx will play a Shaw University and North Carolina Central alum in an upcoming movie.
He will portray Willie E. Gary in the film The Burial. It's based on a case Gary won in the 1990s. He sued a Mississippi businessman on behalf of a funeral home operator over a contract dispute. He won $500 million in damages. Gary graduated from Shaw in 1971 and got his law degree from Central in 1974. The movie about him premieres next Monday at the Toronto International Film Festival.
That should be good. And it's not, Jamie Foxx is a big name.
Sure is.
I'd love to be played by Jamie Foxx in something.
There you go. That's it for us.
It could happen.
Yeah, it'll happen in our lifetime.
It's a loose adaptation.
Have a great night.
Our next newscast is 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and 11 on WREL. We'll see you then.
Keep watching WREL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.